Thank you. Short translation of this, as well as an incidental remembrance of Srila Prabhupada in this particular bhajan about Radha Madhava. Krishna is a lover of Radha. He displays many amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. He is a lover of the congregations of bhajan, the holder of the great hill named Govardhan, the beloved son of Mother Yasoda, the delighter of the inhabitants of Braja, and he wanders in the forests along the banks of the river Jamuna. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this song and sang it just before his lectures. In Allahabad, in Gorakhpur, Srila Prabhupada fell into a trance after singing the first two lines. And after some time, he came back to external consciousness and said, "Now just chant Hare Krishna." Srila Prabhupada said that this song is a picture of Vrindavan. Everything is there. Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yashoda, and all of the cowherd boys. Sri Vrindavan Dharam Ki. I chose this bhajan to as a verse for the class today because I think it represents the sweetness of Krishna, the sweetness of Radharani that we all experience on a day like this. When I think of the festivals that we've celebrated over the last few weeks, clearly Radharani stands out to me as the sweetest. Balaram Jayanti, of course they're all wonderful. Balaram Jayanti, certainly an auspicious day. Balaram is Daji, and he's the older brother. Even Krishna had felt a little inhibited in the presence of Daji, the older brother, when he was interacting with Kudra in the streets of Mathura. So, Daji is like that. Prabhupada said, you can go to him and say, "My dear sir, this is the problem, and he'll take care of it." So, an older brother, there's a certain type of feeling or loss you get with the older brother. So, Daji is very wonderful. Krishna Janmashtami? For me, Krishna Janmashtami is hard. It's very hard. We're fasting up until midnight. I just think of those devotees who move in battle in the early days when Prabhupada was reading the Krishna book. He was sitting in the glasses on having a Krishna book read, and he was completely in transcendental ecstasy with us, all the devotees, and hours went by. And late into the night, their heads were drooping, they were sleeping. It's hard fasting all day, for me at least. So I view Janmashtami as a bit of an austerity. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, that's a day of loyalty and dedication, feelings of allegiance, and the solemnness of the ceremony that Prabhupada himself made it was appropriate tend to dominate that day. But Srila Ashtami is a day where it's just full of sweetness. Full of sweetness, start to finish. Last night we had the boat festival. And I don't think there are as many people at the boat festival as there are sitting in the temple right now. Maybe we're missing something. That is such a sweet festival. Take the Church of Radha Shyam, Adana, the little pond there, and get to swim and take in line on a boat ride. The boatman rocks it back and forth. It's not Krishna's charter, I don't know if it rocks back and forth for the pleasure of Shishana Rasham Sundar. In the sweet kirtan, I noted last night that Nagaraj, who's leaving kirtan, he also sang this Charawatam Madhava, and I thought, well, that's a thing for this year's celebration. So it starts with that, and then who can say, because we're prejudiced because we're local boys, but I agree with Mother Mukhya that where are you going to see this kind of darshan? Where are you going to see this kind of darshan or this kind? Just fabulous. The work of all the devotees, all the men and women hours that went in to produce such a lovely scene that evokes what? It evokes madhurya, it evokes sweetness, especially when Hare Krishna reads the pastimes. So, this darshan, and then we have the Abhishek, the feast at noon. I'm speaking about Balaram Jayanti, where the feast half, fast half day, still the feast is until the evening. But today we get to have the feast at 1 o'clock, so Radharani's mercy, Prabhupada said, it's Radharani's mercy, we have to wait. So now, when we have the feast and we take the rest of the evening, again, we come back to dinner, it's not over yet. Radhapad Darshan, is there a sweeter darshan throughout the year? Oh my goodness, we're just swimming in ecstasy here in Leyte with the sweetness of all these festivals culminating in Narastami. Of course, you know that last mass is also the day on which Shishirada Samsundar were installed 17 years ago. So there have been 17 years of service here. And it just keeps getting better and better. Actually, I had the great fortune myself in Chaturvedi for carrying Srimati Radharani from the Yajna Shala, which was just over here where the village of Vrindavan was held, to get to carry her from there and place her on the altar. So that's something that Chaturvedi and I were talking about the other evening as we stood before Shishirada Samsundar, that we got a chance to render that service, and eternally grateful for doing that, getting that opportunity. Radharani, by the way, is as much lighter than Balaram. He's a big boy, you see. Because Shishirada and I carried him on the altar too. And if you look at the pictures of the expressions on our faces on two different occasions, obviously Srimati Radharani was a lot sweeter because Balaram was heavier, so the distance was shorter, but it was very draining, but a lovely experience. So the sweetness of Srimati Radharani is what we wanted to focus on here. What is that sweetness? I think we should know this. We use this term madhurya, sweetness. Well, what is it? What do you mean by that? Well, I thought I'd start by what we don't mean by that, and come at an understanding in that way. Because it's not everybody that gets the opportunity to taste the sweetness of Sri Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he stayed during the rainy season in Sri Rangam, and he stayed with the family, Venkatabhat family. Venkatabhat was one of the main pujaris of the Sri Rangam temple. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with him, and during the course of that time there, he had a lot of opportunity to have intimate and humorous interactions with Venkatabhat. think about it as the fire of one little child. Is worshiping Shishi Lakshmanayan. And so Lord Chaitanya would joke with him. He would say, but your Lakshmi Devi is the crest jewel of chaste ladies. Your Krishna is a gopa boy who herds cows. Why does she want to be with Krishna? And Captain Bhatt would respond, Krishna and Narayan are one and the same. Why are you making this distinction? Why are you joking with me in this way? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, what you say is true. But tell me, why is Lakshmi performing great penances to attain Krishna? Why did she? But she wasn't able to do so. She wasn't able to attain that association. So then Captain Bhatta, I can't understand this. Why are you singing? Why are you singing all this? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Lakshmi Devi wanted to remain in her position as the opulent goddess of fortune. She didn't want to follow the gopis or the residents of Vrindavan. We just sang Jayavada Madhava, Kunjari Hari, Gopajana Vada, Girir Bhadi Dhani, Ashwara Mandana, Bhaja Jana Ranjana, the residents of Vrindavan. Lakshmi Devi didn't want to give up the opulence and her position as a goddess of fortune to follow the gopis of Vrindavan. Means that she didn't want to collect the cow dung and make the cow patties. This is what the gopis in Vrindavan do. They collect the cow and they milk the cow. They milk the cow. Lakshmi Devi didn't want to do that. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said she couldn't attain Krishna. Because the sweetness and beauty of Krishna can only be attained by following in the footsteps, following in the practices of the gopis of Vrindavan. So sweetness was the difference between the Narayan and Vaikuntha and Radharani and Krishna in Vrindavan. In the absence of that willingness to follow in the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one cannot taste the sweetness of Sri Vrindavan Dharam. And of all the gopis, who is the topmost gopi? That is Srimati Radharani. That instruction comes to us from Srila Upadesha Swami's Upadesha Amrita. Prabhupada has given us a nectar of instruction. And I'm going to read to you text number 10 from the nectar of instruction, which explains Srimati Radharani's position. When we're talking about all these things, the sweetness, sometimes we forget that we're talking about the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, Lord Sri Krishna. And when we think that, these are just stories about young boys and girls or something, we forget the actual position of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, in the nectar of instruction, gave us a very nice understanding of what is Radharani's position in terms of worshipping the Supreme Lord, as well as her position in terms of the sweetness of love that she gives to Krishna. Text number 10 says, in the Shastras, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord. Of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, gyanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who actually attains prema, love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund lake is profoundly dear to Lord Krishna, as this most beloved of the gopis. Who may not reside at Radhakund, when the spiritual body is so charged with ecstatic devotional feelings and the loving service to the divine couple, Shishi Radha Govinda, who perform their Astakarya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes, and then those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakunda are the most fortunate people in the universe. So how many people here have been to Radhakunda? Well, practically everybody. It's room for the devotees, what to expect. Radhakunda is such a sacred place, but what goes on there? What goes on at Radhakunda? What makes it sacred? Well, the selfless attitude of the devotees, Radharani is described in this nectar of instruction as being the topmost servant of Krishna. And so, if we understand the sweetness of Vrindavan, we must understand this attitude of selfless service. That is one of the keys to Madhurya, understanding Madhurya. Understanding oneself to be the servant of Krishna. That beautiful bhajan that the girls sang to us, Sri Nirottam Das Thakur, one of our preeminent previous acharyas, he very clearly explained and expressed a service attitude. Not that he wanted to be with Radha and Krishna, enjoy being in a position of an enjoyer, but rather he was begging all of his gurus, all of his superiors, that he wanted to get the opportunity to serve the lotus feet of the divine couple. Pointing out very clearly that this attitude of selfless service, not necessarily just to Radha and Krishna themselves, but to their servants, the servant of the servant of the servant, Gopi Bhakta Padakaraya and Dasa Dasa Yodas. That is the secret to understanding and experiencing the sweetness of Sri Vrindavan Bhava. So, Rupa Goswami has described Radharani as the topmost servant, law following her footsteps, taking the lead of the gopis, and that way we enter into places like Radhakunda. It's very interesting that the Radharani is described, Srimati Radharani is described, and then her kunda is described, and it's her place. Not just Radharani and Srimati Radharani's name, but her place, Radhakunda, is described. And this is very prominent in the bhajan that we sang at the beginning of the class, and also Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. So Kunja, the groves of Vrindavan, this is the opulence of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Not big, awe-inspiring cathedrals or temples, but rather the bowers and the groves that we have depicted on the altar today. In practical order, again, we're so fortunate, I think that one recent festival they did, one of the kunjas, and the color of that kunja was white. It was a silver kind of outfit, silver everything. This includes around Maricunda, there are eight principal gopis, and each of them has a kunda, a kunja around Maricunda. And they're all different colors, and different seasons are experienced in the kunjas at different, at the same time in the year, you can go and experience different seasons. The transient nature of the Holy Dharma. But they're not big, palatial buildings. They're mainly flowers, as we see here. Mainly flowers. Generally, out of a kunja vijayana. In Srila Jiva Goswami's book, Sri Madhava Mahotsav, there's a description of what a kunja looks like. Have you ever wondered what it looks like inside a kunja? In Vrindavan? There's a description here, so I'll just read a little bit of it. This house of creepers, so Vrinda Devi is speaking to Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is lamenting that she was going from grove to grove and she didn't find any particular kunja which would be suitable for her endless pastimes with Krishna. And so Vrinda Devi is explaining to her the grove that she created. This house of creepers is splendid with its flowers, new shoots, and swarms of bees. It has many trees, gardens, and jeweled floors. It has many types of courtyards and arches over the entrances. Oh, Swami, there is one large chamber and six high surrounding walls. On the four sides are four huge doors. Long before I made this kunja griha, forest cottage, just for you, without a doubt, even if four-headed Brahma tried for a long time to describe this structure, he would quickly become speechless. The creeper bowers with the network of ascending light rays surpass even the houses made of jewels. Has Brahma ever seen the remarkable sweetness of the flowers, bees, and cuckoos here? When I was doing some research for this presentation, I found that the description of the kunjas always mentions that there are swarming bees there. So the flowers attract the bees, they're prominently mentioned in each of these places. So this particular kunja has seven chambers. So let me just read one of them, the second chamber. This second room has a temple spread with bakula and kinsuka flowers. Has the fragrance taken the form or has the color become personified? How do you understand that? The kinsuka flowers have taken up the fragrance of the bakula and the bakula flowers have taken up the red color of the kinsuka. Thus the bees going into the kinsuka flowers and then to the bahuka flowers think, what is this? Amazing places, these kunjas of Vrindavan, where the intimate pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna take place. So you probably wonder what happens in these bowers. If you are, I have something to describe to you in that regard as well. What actually takes place there inside these groves of Vrindavan? Well, listen to this description carefully because when I finish reading it, I want to ask you if you are familiar with any place where these same activities go on. This is Raghunath Das Goswami, Vrindavan, the Sakis serve Radha Krishna by dressing their hair, painting their faces with tilak, and making beautiful headdresses for them. They perfume their bodies, decorate them with garlands and beautiful clothes, and feed them delicious food, drink, and palm. They gently fan them and massage their feet. Some Sakis clean the bowl, and some make flower gardens, and some prepare delightful perfumes, whilst others arrange their garments. So where does that go on?
Right here.
It goes on right here in the garden every day. In the little kudu they have over there, in that little border where the women's ashram is. They have a little kudu over there, a little ceremony they call it, but what is it actually? It's a place where all these activities go on, that go on in the kudus of Vrindavan, go on in the service of Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar. And they say, Prabhupada hasn't given us everything. He's given us infinite service. Same service that goes on in the kudus of Vrindavan has given us the opportunity to do that here on a daily basis, not to speak on festival days like this, where such wonderful arrangements are made. This little section concludes, Raghunath Das Goswami is Radha's dear maidservant and a most respectful maidservant, so he prays that he, she may sweep the playgrounds of her mistress with her long unbound hair. Raghunath Das Goswami. So, that's what happens in the kuja. Without those obedience that happen in the kuja, everything has happened there as well. And I have another description that fits the other main bhajan that we see about Radharani. Radha Jaya Jaya, Radha Radha. That bhajan describes, at least it doesn't describe, but it's seen quite often during the Jhulam, the swing festival, because it's such a wonderful tune, and it goes with the swing back and forth on the swing. So, in the kudus of Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna have the swing festival as one of their main enjoyments together. So there's a description in Jhulam. That's as follows. All the sakis make arrangements for the swing festival by hanging a beautiful swing on a kadamba tree in the forest surrounding the palace. There are descriptions of various swings given in the Bhakti Shastra, such as there is the narrow swing which Radha Shama Sundar sit together, then there is another in which they sit opposite each other and are facing one another. And the special lotus-shaped swing is also described with eight petals on which all the astasakis sit with Radha and Krishna in the middle. In this way they make various preparations for the festival. Then, when Shama Sundar comes to the designated place of rendezvous, the sakis implore Srimati Radharani to sit in the swing. And so this swing festival is one of the main things that the gopis interact with Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. So all these things add up to the sweetness of Sri Vrindavan Dham, given its special place in relation to Vaikuntha Lok, and evoke certain feelings within the devotees. So what is that experience? How is it different? We know that quite often in the Christian tradition, the feeling of reverence when we talk about a divine experience is one that is filled with awe and one is speechless. Even we see sometimes when devotees described in the Srimad Bhagavatam get the darshan of Narayan with four hands, they also become stunned with speechlessness. Dreaming in our eyes when he had his darshan. He couldn't speak until he was blessed with the kansh of the addition. So, feelings of great awe may often associated with religious feelings. But that would be contradictory to this mood of sweetness that we find in Shrivindavan Dham. So what then is the experience of one experienced in the love of Krishna in the corners of Vrindavan? Do you ever have any idea where we could, if we were to search the literature given to us by Srila Prabhupada, where we could find the description of the ecstatic emotions that are beyond awe and reverence that we may have more familiarity with? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nectar devotion. Nectar devotion, yes. One specific thing I'm looking for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give? Sikshastika, yes. If we look to the Sikshastika, we find a description of the feelings, the experience of one serving in the glories of Vrindavan. Oh my Lord, viewing eyes, be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name. May my voice choke up, and may the hairs of my body stand in line at the recitation of your name. These are feelings that have been described by Rupa Goswami as appearing at the stage of bhava, when one has an awakening of love for Krishna. When one has that feeling, it's far from anything of awe and reverence, but it's the heart melting and tears falling from the eyes incessantly. Our God brother, Srila Govinda, used to say that if we want to see Krishna, we have to do what? Cry, cry, cry. The tears of love flowing constantly from one's eyes. And the voice being choked up, unable to speak, choked with emotion. These are the experiences of transcendental ecstasy, transcendental love of God. And we should aspire for these things by following the previous verses of the Shastra, taking the holy name, chanting with attention and dedication, avoiding offenses. If we do this, then we're sure to come to this stage of love of God. It's available to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his aspect of Madhurya is, what is it? Madhurya and Vrindavan and Mayapur or Dhamma. Giving this mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to have these experiences of genuine love of God. And we can do that by following the footsteps of our previous acharyas, executing devotional service according to the order of our spiritual master, and by observing festivals in such a grand way. Not grand in terms of opulence and all, and sweetness, like we see here before us on the altar today. And I'm just wondering, will they take the boat, or are they going to take the boat away for the Radha-Prabhu darshan tonight? Because the sides of the boat, do they block the lotus feet? I haven't been able to get up there too close. No, they don't. Okay, well, we'll see if they take the boat away or not, but either way, I'm sure it'll be an ecstatic experience for all of us. then just a little plug for the future. We have the Water Red opportunities with flowers at the school down here in Haven, so you can purchase for roses to support the school and to offer to show to everyone. So any comments, corrections, observations, ecstatic emotions, anybody would like to express while we wait for them to set up the other shake? Yes.
Is
it
right
here?
Hare Krishna. I was in the radio and then I had to walk here, so I probably missed something. You were mentioning how Lakshmi Devi, she didn't want to do call down patties or be with the bridge buses. And what I understood when I, from my studies, the reason why she didn't want to do it was because she didn't want to accept another man as her husband. Can you clarify that?
I haven't heard that. Anybody else heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sir. Lakshmi Devi says,
wait a minute.
Lakshmi Devi,
Lakshmi Devi agreed when she saw there's a famous verse in that description that Prabhupada translated. Siddhantaste Abhidhati Srisha Krishna Sarupaya Rasana Utkrishate Osa Krishna Rupam Vashastiti. Srila Prabhupada translated, as for transcendental realization, there is no difference between Narayana and Krishna. As for transcendental knowledge, there is vast difference. When Prabhupada gave us explanation on that. So, commentary on that, Bhaktisiddhanta Guru says that, referring to that, when Lord Krishna asked Lakshmi Devi that she has to act like a Braja Gopis, what is the job? You have to give up your Brahmani, she's the head of the Brahman, and act like a Vaishya. So she thought for a while it is really messy, but she agreed to do it. Then, come to the professional of the Braja Gopis and not decorated like a Lakshmi decoration of gold, white, everything. She didn't like it, but she agreed, okay, I'll give up those. Then we came to the third point, that you have to accept, you have to be born from the womb of a gopis, and then you have to accept a person who will be your husband, but you will not meet that person, and you will give your complete life, mind, everything towards the son of man, that's me. She said, I cannot accept another person as a husband.
Okay.
So that's fine.
Is that good, Chandra?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
One other thing is,
yes,
the mercy
on Dr. Radharani. I had read that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said to get the blessings to enter into Goloka and the blessings of Srimati Radharani, you approach Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Mm-hmm. And he gives the blessings to get into the company of Srimati Radharani and the gopis.
Does that continue with the same statement that to approach Lord Nityananda Prabhu, but to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to approach the conditioned souls given you?
I saw a story about Lakshmi Devi meditating in Vrindavan, in Vrindavan that she is not allowed in, and maybe somebody came in and tell the story.
I think that this is the same thing. Vrindavan, I think, is a place where that she was trying to enter, right?
Yes, that's it.
Hmm. I think it's the same started at the point of the Angelic Order in the point of the world. Yes, and Bhagavan is the place it took place. Is that correct? She's asking for the pastime of the Lakshmi Devi entering into Vrindavan. And she named the place Bhagavan. So the question is that Bhagavan or some place? I think it's the same.
I don't think so, because...
No, she knows. I'm sorry. He can take us there. He's taking us there. If he makes it, then he can go.
Well, what one of the 12 forests of brother, Bulgaria, is called Bulgaria, or sometimes Bulgaria, this is exact location, exact spot, where he stood. Lakshmi Devi is performing austerity. So, this intention to enter in the last month. That exact location is for Bhairavan. And Bhairavan also the exact place is also. This is right. The eastern bank of China, just behind Kaliya River. Kaliya River.
Thank you so much for this. Is that okay? Well, he said that Lakshmi Devi is there for four austere things to try to enter into the last of things.
Krishna was laughing at her.
She
cannot enter. Why couldn't she enter?
Well, I think you've got a general idea why she's in the middle. We can talk about some questions. What time is it? About 9 a.m. Do you know what time?
Hare Krishna. Probably you brought up Shishastakam and also Vidashamita. I was reading a very short paragraph of Prabhupada brings them together. Srila Goswami is, this is from the preface of the instruction. Srila Goswami is a leader of other Goswamis and some gathering activities. He gave us this Vidashamita, the method of instruction to follow. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind the 8 verses known as Shishastakam. Srila Goswami gave us Vidashamita. So that we may become pure Vaishnavas. All the kunjas and palaces and everything are there by Vishwakarma, the announced of it. And concerning Lakshmi, when she came out of the Milka ocean, the demons and the demigods wanted her, but she would not go with anyone. Except she went to the side of Vishnu.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Ram.